an exercise in either or falsehoods. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principal Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaelis.
Great to be back with you.
Oh, it's good to have you back today. Now, if our listeners were with us on yesterday's program, they understood we were talking about the political season and some certain maladies that occur with the weather changing and all that. Chuck, a lot of people get colds and flus, but that's not what we're talking about. We were talking about some particularly political viruses, and one is called Obama Derangement Syndrome, or at least it was tagged that way by a writer in the Chicago Tribune by the name of Eric Zorn, who himself a liberal, and using his article from Monday to try to say that those people who were attacking Obama and denigrating his entire record were missing the point that he'd done all these wonderful things. And of course, it's wonderful for liberals and not so wonderful for conservatives. And so, Adrian, carry on, do it. Don't wring your hands about the low state of political discourse when you're next on the defensive. Or here's an idea, he says at the end of his article, get a grip. In other words, he's attacking conservatives, saying, don't overblow your hand. Point is that liberals tend to do the same thing, Chuck. And as a matter of fact, I wanted to take an exercise today because we have interesting development that happened over the weekend, but I'm sure that many of our listeners have probably heard about it by now, and that is you had a Hollywood type make an endorsement for president. That's no surprise there. We've been seeing a lot of them do that, raising lots of money for Barack Obama. Oh, but wait, this Hollywood actress actually endorsed Mitt Romney. Well, Chuck, that didn't set well with many of the liberals and the Democrats in Hollywood and across the free plain who, shall we say, got a little vocal with their disapproval of actress Stacey Dash's endorsement tweet on Twitter, where she tweeted, vote for Romney, the only choice for your future, and with a bunch of hashtags on it to point people to Romney's support. Well, that didn't really set well, Chuck. Many folks attacked her decision, but they didn't attack her decision because they didn't think it was logical or she was missing Romney's record or that she was, as a reporter in the Chicago Tribune was saying, were underplaying all of Barack Obama's wonderful achievements in office. It's just that they were calling her a traitor, that because actress Stacey Dash is African-American, that her endorsing Mitt Romney was tantamount to treason. Now, Chuck, I'm not going to drop any race cards or anything. I don't like doing that. But it really seems to me that liberals truly believe that those who are of African-American background have no place to go but the Democratic Party. And if they ever stray from that, they are, well, in the words of some of her detractors, becoming, I don't even know if an indoor slave is the phrase that was used, and yeah, that she's becoming a slave. And they called her a number of other derogatory names that are cast at African-Americans. And we're not even going to say those on the air because I frankly think that they're vile. They're extremely inflammatory. And some got just beyond calling them certain names to calling them names of a very, shall we say, obscene nature. Chuck, I had to sit back and kind of laugh a little bit at this because what it really showed, and there are a number of websites, everything from Breitbart.com to Newsbusters, which are conservative blog sites, all the way to Huffington Post, which is one of the most liberal, who are reporting and kind of going tisk-tisk to the liberals about how they are being intolerant of someone who decides to speak their mind, follow their conscience, and support who they think is the best candidate based upon their particular worldview. But I guess Stacey Dash isn't allowed to think for herself. She's not allowed to stray from the, and I'm going to use this phrase, the Democratic plantation, because honestly, ladies and gentlemen, and Chuck, you saw these tweets, that there was a lot of, shall we say, incendiary racial commentary coming from those who identify themselves as liberals and Democratic members, to the point of, you know, such tolerance as telling her she should go kill herself because of her endorsement of Mitt Romney, that she was selling out, that she was ready to head back to the field. There was all kinds of nasty little things that were said about her because she decided to stand up for what she believes in. Now, many of these conservative bloggers, Chuck, as you know, were outraged at this. They were outraged at the left's seeming intolerance, well, it's not seeming, it is intolerance, of their almost Orwellian type of newspeak and thinking along the lines of the collective. And I guess what they did is they looked at Stacey Dash and said, she's a Hollywood actress, She's African-American, therefore she must be liberal and support Barack Obama. And when she showed them she could think for herself, that she could reason for herself, and that she had a difference of opinion, that was unacceptable. And that couldn't be done. And what was she thinking? Her vote belongs to the Democratic Party. And,
exactly.
And that's exactly the thing that the conservative commentators are upset about, and some of the folks on the that go in the comment section, they're upset that the liberals would have the audacity to believe that they could control somebody's vote, that they could tell a person based upon other characteristics, again, like I said, female, African-American, Hollywood actress in her mid-40s, that means that automatically she must fall into line and get behind Barack Obama, and to do anything else is treason.
And it's that idea of ownership, and that we all fit neatly into these little sociological packets, and that, in fact, those of us who don't fit neatly into the sociological packet or take ourselves out of those sociological packets are somehow traitorous or hypocritical. I actually got called hypocritical for making it clear that I have standards of which neither one of the two major party candidates have met. And so therefore, I've been told I'm hypocritical for that. And of course, I asked how so. We'll see what the reply is. But the fact is that that's exactly what's going on here. We assume there is a presupposition that if you're this and this and this and this, and name what they might be, you're going to vote this way. And if you don't, there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, somehow you're messing up the meme.
Yes. So, for instance, I'm mid-50s, white, Anglo-Saxon Protestant, and I own a small business, and therefore I have to be Republican.
Oh, and you're a Christian.
And I'm a Christian, yes. So get with the program and join in with the crowd and go along to get along. Well, that's not working out so well.
Well, and I think there's an interesting thing here, Chuck, because again, like I said, with Stacey Dash, you have many conservatives who are rallying around her because she's decided to follow her convictions. She's decided to not go along with the crowd and not say, because I'm this is my only option. And we applaud her for that. She has the right to make that choice. Now, the funny thing is, though, Chuck, and this is where the shoe starts getting a little pinchy when you stick it on the other foot, many of these same conservatives are the ones who are bashing people who are using the same similar convictions, worldviews, and beliefs to say, I got to vote for somebody else other than Mitt Romney. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I know that's tantamount to treason in many conservative circles, but the point is that these are no different, and if to say that they are, it's time to get out the hypocrite horn, because that's what's going on. And it's interesting that I wanted to use this example, Chuck, because out of CNS News and an article by Bob Lewis on Monday, they had an article, and right here just, I think, encapsulates this whole mindset. I call it the support derangement syndrome. And we talked about Obama derangement syndrome, and this is a subset of it. It's another part of the disease where cells shrug off and create a new disease. And this is, I call it support derangement syndrome, and this one's entitled, In Virginia, Ex-Representative Good May Pose Risk for Romney. Well, they're talking about Virgil Good, who is a former congressman from Virginia, but who also is running for president. He is running for president on the ticket of the Constitution Party. And many Republicans are upset at him, especially in Virginia, because, as they say, he, quote, threatens to peel away conservative votes from Mitt Romney, and in a close race, hand Virginia's 13 electoral votes and possibly four more years to President Barack Obama. Now, I don't know Bob Lewis, the article writer's background. I don't know his worldview, but I do know that we're looking at this article, what he's showing is a great example of support derangement syndrome. That's the idea, and Chuck, you were starting to talk about it at the end of yesterday's program, where people believe because you fit into a certain profile, your vote automatically belongs to the Republicans. It automatically belongs to Mitt Romney, the candidate. And Chuck, that's more offensive than liberals believing Stacey Dash ought to quote-unquote stay on the plantation and vote for Barack Obama, and to do otherwise would be treasonous. It's this idea that for some reason, because you're a Christian or in this certain class or a business owner, you have no place else to go but the Republican Party and Mitt Romney. And as we've heard before, and I think we've talked about in this program, that a vote for anybody but Mitt Romney is a vote for Barack Obama. Well, that's absolutely ridiculous, because it presumes something very, very wrong, that those votes were there for Mitt Romney or the Republican Party to start.
Exactly. It's a presumption that somehow the game starts out as a zero-sum game. In other words, everything adds up to such and such an amount, and that there are only two quote-unquote viable candidates. I had the viability argument the other day, and I just laugh about it. And I always remind people that the reason that third-party candidates aren't electable, quote-unquote, is because everybody says they're not electable. If everybody dropped that particular criteria, which I did years ago, I said, electability, anybody's electable, as long as you can get your message out and people don't go in with their presupposition that it's Republican or Democrat or nothing. And the fact is that once you drop that presupposition, then you can start looking at the true character and the true record of the candidates and say, that's who deserves my vote. And what that means is suddenly, and the Republican Party hates this, and they send out their pundits. And the Democratic Party hates it, too, and they send out their pundits. And the fact is that the punditry in the media work together to make sure that nobody strays off the Republican reservation or the Democratic reservation. And anybody who stands outside the fence in the third party area, outside the compounds, is kept outside because there's something wrong with them. They're mentally deranged. They don't think right. They're the fringe. Well, I would say that no, we just simply refuse to think inside the box. We refuse to look at the boundaries and say, okay, I agree with that. You're right. I can't go outside the reservation. It's not safe out there.
Yeah, well, there you go. I think you've now put your thumb right on the issue.
And that's basically it, Barry. Those of us who have chosen to step outside the reservation we're saying, hey, look, it's really nice out here. You've got all this freedom to be able to choose outside the fence.
Okay, and let's make sure that we're not kidding our audience, or they don't think we're kidding ourselves. We understand that because of the way this two-party system works, that one of those two candidates are most likely going to end up being president. But that does not obligate us to violate our own consciences or to convince other people to violate their consciences or to vote uninformed by saying you must vote for candidate A of the A party or candidate of the B party. We're not saying that. We're not even telling you need to vote for some candidate of the C, D, E, F, and G party. What we're saying is don't assume immediately that there's only two choices, an either-or debate. It's not an either-or debate, and that's the reason why we have what are called free elections in the United States, and you have people who run on various other tickets, like the Constitution Party and the Libertarian Party and the Green Party and the Natural Law Party and the Socialist Workers Party, and I can go on and on, Chuck, but the whole point is nobody wants to hear me go on and on, but... But the key is that I think you're right. It's the whole idea of being afraid to attempt to break this stranglehold that the two-party leadership have over the public. Like, well, you have no place else to go, so you must vote for one of these two people. Well, the only reason you have no place else to go is you've never tried to go there.
Exactly. Barry, what's funny, you say that this packetized thinking, this thinking in little quantum packets, if you will, goes out to the point where at one point I was being critical of a position someone had taken regarding Mitt Romney, and I was immediately accused of being a Gary Johnson supporter. Now, Gary Johnson is the presidential candidate for the Libertarian Party, and I had to laugh. I go, oh, I see. So since I'm not Obama, and I'm not
Romney.
I must be Gary Johnson, right? No, sorry. I'm not a Gary Johnson supporter for much the same reason I'm not a Barack Obama or a Mitt Romney supporter. He does not meet the minimum criteria that I have set for the earning of my vote. And again, I've already pointed out candidates who did meet the minimum criteria for the gaining of my vote. So this idea that somehow I've picked a standard of perfection that no one would ever fit in. Sorry, we've already dispelled that myth. So again, people, once they get into the box, for some reason, Barry, it's really, really hard for them to get out.
It seems to be that way. And honestly, Charles, it's because many, especially those in our Christian community, and ladies and gentlemen, if this is you and this strikes at your heart, well, good. It should. We live in a spirit of fear. We live in the fear of Barack Obama and what he can do. Or we live in the fear of, well, I don't know what the economy is going to be like. Instead of, as believers, living not with a spirit of fear, but of power and of truth and grace, as the epistles say. He's not given us a spirit of fear. God has given us the means. He's given us the map, the blueprint. He's spelled out in his word in Romans 13, in Exodus 18, in Timothy and Titus, what the qualifications for ruler and leadership in those jurisdictions that God created himself, ladies and gentlemen, because the home and family, the church, and the civil government were all jurisdictions created by God, and he's spelled out standards for them in his word. Romans 13 is extremely clear what the civil magistrate, the civil authority, how they're supposed to act and how they're supposed to follow, and not that they have any will to make it up on their own or they decide what's good and evil, but they're supposed to follow what God has said is good or evil and reward that good and punish that evil. To do anything else is rebellion to God. And for us to vote against God's standards, well, I got to draw the conclusion, Chuck, it's also rebellion to God.
Exactly. Now, with that, we're way up against the clock. Join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.